Welcome to episode 376 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Each year, even in the midst of a global pandemic, thousands of worshipers, pilgrims, researchers, tourists, and curiosity seekers visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the Christian quarter of the Old City of Jerusalem. This church is home to two of the holiest sites in Christianity: Calvary, the site where Jesus was crucified, and the borrowed tomb in which Jesus was buried and then from which he resurrected. The final four stations of the cross, or Via Dolorosa, are also located inside the church compound. Inside the church's entrance is the Stone of Anointing, believed to be where Jesus' body was prepared for the burial. A modern mosaic along the wall depicts the anointing of Jesus' body. Lamps with candles and incense hang along an ornate stand over the stone. There's a stairway that leads up to Golgotha. There's a room that holds what has become known as the Angel Stone, believed to be a fragment of the stone that sealed Jesus' tomb. On a given day, you will find hundreds, perhaps thousands of visitors from all over the world. However, what you will not see inside the burial place of the Lord, inside the limestone cave in which Jesus was laid to rest after being taken down from the cross, are bones. The tomb is empty. From the earliest apostolic period, the reality of the empty tomb, the biblical truth that the tomb of Jesus of Nazareth was found empty by his disciples, has been the center of the Christian proclamation. All four Gospels describe to varying degrees the circumstances surrounding the discovery of the empty tomb. But are there any good reasons to think that these claims are historically accurate? Could a fair-minded investigator conclude that in all probability, Jesus' tomb was found empty on that first Easter morning? There are several arguments that have convinced a good many historians that the tomb in which Jesus was buried was indeed found empty on the Sunday following his crucifixion. First, the location of Jesus' tomb would have been known to Christians and non-Christians alike. While it is true that most victims of crucifixion were either thrown in a graveyard reserved for common criminals or simply left on the cross for birds and other scavengers to feed upon, the case of Jesus was different. The historical record indicates that Jesus was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Sanhedrin, the very group that had orchestrated Jesus' execution. Many skeptical New Testament scholars have been convinced that Jesus' burial by Joseph of Arimathea is unlikely to have been a Christian fabrication. Given the understandable hostility of the earliest Christians toward the Sanhedrin, the group that they felt was largely responsible for their master's death, it is unlikely that Jesus' followers would have invented a tradition about a member of the Sanhedrin using his own tomb to provide Jesus with a respectable burial. In addition, recent archaeological discoveries have demonstrated that the style of tomb described in the burial accounts in the Gospels, an acrosolia, or bench tomb, was largely used by the wealthy and other people of prominence. Such a description fits nicely with what we know of Joseph of Arimathea. Moreover, when we couple these considerations with the fact that Arimathea was a town of little importance that lacked any type of scriptural symbolism, and that no competing burial tradition exists, there is no serious doubt about where Jesus was buried. If the location of Jesus' tomb was known to Jewish authorities, it would have been nearly impossible for the Christian movement to have gained any traction in Jerusalem, the very city where Jesus was known to have been buried, had the tomb not been empty. The religious leaders could have taken the short walk to Joseph's tomb to verify this claim. Wouldn't the Sanhedrin have every motivation to produce Jesus' corpse if it were available and put an end to rumors of a resurrected Jesus? If Jesus' crucified body had been produced, the Christian movement, with its emphasis on a resurrected Christ, would have been dealt a lethal blow. In contrast, Christianity gained many converts in Jerusalem. Writing to the church at Corinth in approximately AD 55, the Apostle Paul writes, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. When Paul writes that he was buried, that he was raised, it is strongly implied, given Paul's Pharisaical background, that the tomb in which Jesus was buried was empty. As a former Pharisee, Paul would have naturally understood that what goes down in burial comes up in resurrection. He accepted the idea of physical resurrection even before his encounter with Christ. Given that Paul's source for the truth that he received was most likely the Jerusalem apostles and their proximity to the events in question, there is strong evidence that Jesus' tomb had been found empty, and this fact was widely known in the early Christian community. Matthew reports that there was an acknowledgement of the empty tomb by the Jewish leaders themselves. They claimed the disciples had come and stolen away Jesus' body. Given the proximity of the writing of Matthew's gospel to the event in question, such a claim would have been easy to disprove if untrue. For if Matthew were lying, his reports of the Jewish response to the empty tomb proclamation could have easily been discredited. Many of the contemporaries of the events in question would still have been alive when Matthew's gospel was initially circulating. But why would they accuse the disciples of stealing Jesus' body if the tomb still contained the dead body of Jesus? The counter accusation made by the Jews presupposes that the tomb was empty. That the Jews accuse the disciples of stealing Jesus' body is corroborated by the Christian apologist Justin Martyr in the middle of the second century. And then again around AD 200 by the church father Tertullian. Both Justin and Tertullian were interacting with the Jewish debaters of their day and were in a position to know what it was their Jewish opponents were saying. They were not simply relying on Matthew's gospel for their information. Both Justin and Tertullian mentioned specific details not found in the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, all three of these writers cite details not mentioned by the others. Based on these considerations, it appears that there was an early Jewish acknowledgement of an empty tomb. All four Gospels report that the tomb of Jesus was discovered empty by women. This point is especially significant given the patriarchal nature of first century Israel. While it is true that under very limited circumstances, women were allowed to testify in a court of law, it is also the case that in first century Jewish society, a woman's testimony was worth far less than that of a man's. If you were making up a story in an attempt to persuade others that Jesus had been resurrected, you would have never used women as your primary witnesses. Any made-up story would have featured male disciples like Peter, John, or Andrew as the discoverers of the empty tomb, as a testimony of men would have provided much-needed credibility to the story. There is more to the story than merely an empty tomb. The reason the tomb was found empty was that the man who was buried there had risen from the dead. Jesus would not only vacate his grave, but appear to numerous people individually and in groups. And his resurrection from the dead would be the sure proof that he was who he claimed to be, the risen Son of God, our only hope of salvation. Father, we thank you for the reality of an empty tomb. That empty tomb points to a resurrected living Savior. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Help us to believe and to be saved. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.